Blog Talk Radio.
Bless you. Thank you so much for being here with your hostess, Lisa Marie, here on the Stars of Heaven Networks 22. And I tell you, I'm excited to be here once again to minister all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I am enjoying my retreat. And it's about to come to a close so that I can release the maize offering. And I tell you, it's really been a blessing taking this time to just bask in the rain, dance in the rain, and just be at a place in my life where peace reigns. So welcome. I'm so excited to be here on one of my favorite birthings, Bri's Bubbly and Brunch, and there's no other place I would rather be than here to minister the Bride of Christ Women's Ministries Prophetic Agricultural Wheel Calendar Alignment for the new solar, and I'm so excited to minister this alignment. And I really felt that it was really divine to minister it here on Bride's Bubbly and Brunch because it's in celebration of the Holy Trinity represented by the number three, the two becoming one, and in celebration of the twins in the constellation of Gemini. And I'm just so excited to just minister this divine time and what the Lord is saying in this season. So I certainly hope that you're being blessed. And if you haven't had a chance to check out the prophetic alignment, you can do so. I posted it on my Facebook feed, Twitter feed, so it's all there for your reading. And I'm not going to prolong the time. I'm going to go right into the alignment and share with you some additional highlights and revelations that I know will be a blessing to you. in this third month of the Hebrew agricultural calendar. And Gemel Sivan means bright. Hallelujah. And that's so divine on this beautiful Sunday spring afternoon that the sun is shining brightly, not only in the sky, but the Son of God is shining brightly in our hearts. And I certainly hope that he's shining brightly in your heart as well. And not only does Gemel Sivan means bright, it also means their covering. Hallelujah. And that's the thing that I so love about this alignment and ministering it here on Bride's Lovely and Brunch and celebration of the bride and the bridegroom is that God has us covered. He has me covered by not only the shed blood of Jesus, but by his will, by his love, his passion, by adoption, redemption, by way of the work of the cross. I'm so excited about that. And the bride of Christ has entered into this triumph interest into another solar. And in this solar, and in this prophetic time in our history, prophetic history, it shares with us what God intended for us to focus on and what will be the specific theme for this calendar. And that's why I so love these calendars, is because each calendar has a theme and a specific focus for us to focus on in this time. And we can follow that by way of the Holy Spirit. And so I always say it's like an outline. It's like a blueprint. It's really a foundation and moving forward in every new calendar. And I'm really excited by it, this being the third, because it's like the third quarter, which is usually a time of review, a time of reflection. And the third month is the third month of the 12 months of the agriculture calendar. So I'm really excited about this particular time and what he's saying, because in this prophetic time in our history, we see that God is speaking to Moses, his servant, gave him his teachings and instructing him by guiding him in this month, which reveals the merciful one who gave to Israel the laws and precepts. And I tell you, the word of God says, and David said it, is that it's upon line and precept upon precept, and that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So it's line by line and precept by precept. And David also said, which is another exciting thing about this alignment, is that it speaks to the dedication of the Psalms. And I'm going to get into that in a minute. But I want to go back to what the Holy Spirit was saying about hiding the word in our heart. David said, thy word, if I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And I tell you, it's all about the heart transformation. With a man's heart, does she believe into righteousness? So it's all about the heart, the condition of the heart. And Jesus talked a lot about the heart, that if the heart is not tilled, if it's not conditioned, if the word of the Lord comes, if the blessing comes, if we have hardness of heart, or if our heart has stones in it, we can't receive. So everything is about the heart. And the thing that I love about the seed of the Word of God is that when it's planted in good ground, fertile ground, it can bring forth much fruit. And so this is, again, the time of the celebration of the Psalms that were all planted in Israel in the month of Gemel, the third month. And in the Hebrew letter, Gemel is a picture of a camel, which is another thing that I love about the agricultural calendar. It not only represents the agricultural calendar, for it's what we sow, what we also will reap, and the fruits and our harvest It also speaks of the animal kingdom. It also speaks of the heavens and the stars, which is why I created Stars of Heaven Network 22 to let us know that there are signs and wonders that will follow those that believe. And those signs and wonders are revealed by our faith. Hallelujah. Our faith. Now, the camel is the ancient meaning of to lift up. With all the Hebrew characteristics, they can have both a positive and a negative meaning. And that's the thing that I love about the constellation in Gemini, because you have representing the twin. One represents the old nature, the other one represents the new nature, or it can be interpreted as a reflection of oneself. And that positive or negative all depends on, again, the state of the heart and your nature. And that's why it's so important to be born again of the water and the spirit. And that's why Jesus said that except a man be born again of the water and of the spirit, he can no wise see the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus came to fulfill the law of God, not to do away with it, but to fulfill it. And these ancient meanings and these glorious mysteries and that we see in the Old Testament are keys to understanding what Jesus meant in the New Testament. And that is no longer veiled. It's no longer veiled. It's now the veil has been ripped. We can see clearly, plainly, by way of our pure hearts and by way of the Holy Spirit ministering to us, by way of relationship with each and every one of us, which is personal. And I love that about Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is that he knows who we are. He knows those that are his as well. Now, Jesus said, as Moses, again, going back to what Jesus referring to the Old Testament, spoke and gave the example of Moses in saying, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting, eternal life. That means they should never die, never perish. So Jesus is now speaking of himself as the servant of God, the Son of God, God being in the flesh, that if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men to him. If we lift him up, if we call upon him, and whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That means he's assuring us eternal life after this life. There is an afterlife. Now, another thing that I love about this alignment, again, is speaking about the animal kingdom, and the focus is on the serpent. But the serpent is really being used in a very positive way in Jesus speaking, because the serpent also represents healing. And that's why you see in a lot of medical terminologies and in a lot of medical symbols, you see that the serpent is wrapped around a pole that represents healing. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying here and giving us the understanding that the serpent became healing to Israel when they looked on it. So the serpent in its nature was meant to be good. It was the craftiness and cunningness of the serpent in his disobeying his creator that he became saltable. And as the scripture says, and the Lord said unto Moses, make there a fiery serpent and set upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bidden, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass, if a serpent had bitten any man when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So in this context of the serpent, it represents life. Hallelujah. And that's the thing that is now fulfilled by Christ, who was crucified on a tree, on a cross, representing that serpent. And that's why he also taught in the Beatitudes and teaching disciples that we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So the serpent's nature was meant to be wise, but harmless. And actually, you could be healed by the power of the medicine of the serpent. Now, Gamal 3 focuses on correct movement in this calendar, in this season. And that correct movement is learning how to walk in the newness of life. And Romans 8 chapter, the first through the second verse says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And this is what Apostle Paul declared in us now being born again of the water and spirit, that if we walk in the spirit, there's no condemnation. Walking in the newness of life, there's now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ had he made me free from the law of sin and death. So in this new solar, this new cycle, this new calendar, it reminds us that we're not condemned when we are not, when we're not in the flesh, when we're not operating from the works of the flesh, which leads to death. Now, I also want to give you Romans, the sixth chapter, the first through the sixth verse, where he says, the Apostle Paul, St. Paul, declares, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may be abound? He said, God forbid. Because once Jesus shed his blood for us and we confess him as our Lord and Savior, we now have been healed from our sin. And so he said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. How shall we, meaning the body of Christ, those who confess Christ, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? He goes on to declare, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized in his death. That means dying to the old nature, the old ways. He said, therefore, are we buried with him in baptism into death? That means those things that were was once active in our members and the things that we once did, we don't have a desire to do them anymore in the old nature with the same mindset, because that tends to what? Death, leads to death. And he goes on to say that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So Christ is our example. Just as he was resurrected, raised up in the newness of life, so are we raised up by way of the power of the Holy Spirit in the newness of life. That means we have a renewed mind. We don't think the same. We have the mind of Christ. And he said, he also says, or if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And knowing this, that our old man, our old woman is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That means anything we do now in the new nature, we do it by love. We do it in the love of Christ, by the love of Christ. It's not based on the old man, which is lustful and prideful and based on ego, which tends to death, based on the works of the flesh, as Galatians says. He says, goes on to say that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And I love that. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm not bound by my sins, my sexuality, my desire to love. It's now according to the love of Christ. I'm freed from sin because my nature now is based on love, and everything I do comes from a place of love. And that's beautiful. That is just so beautiful. And I thank God for that, because in this retreat, that's the thing that I've been focusing on, acknowledging and talking to God about my desires and having those desires fulfilled and not being ashamed of those things, because the intent of whatever I desire is in the spirit of love, and love always brings forth fruit, and I love that. Now I'm going to quickly go down to get into the Masorah, the constellation, which celebrates the twin brothers, Jacob and Esau. Oh my God, Jacob and Esau, which are examples of these natures. These twins are non-identical, but opposite in their nature. These two natures, one represents Jacob, the good inclination nature, while Esau represents the evil inclination nature. And that's the thing. And that's something we have in each and one of us. We have the good nature, and we have the evil nature. And Paul declared, when I always do good, evil is always present. And Paul also talked about that there was a war going on in his members. So it's simple as knowing and choosing which side you're going to feed. You're going to feed the old nature, you're going to feed the new nature. And again, there are only two definitions of our nature, and that's either you're good or you're evil. No two ways about it. And so these two twin brothers were examples of that. And that's recorded in the Word of God about Jacob and Esau, and how the two brothers in their natures always clashed and led to death, murder, because of that, which represents jealousy. The Word of God says jealousy is cruel as the grave, and it can kill when people are evil and jealous. And that's something we have to be careful of in understanding our nature within us. Now, one of the major stars in the constellation of Gemini is called Nazarene, meaning the sent prince, hallelujah, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus was sent and birthed from Nazarene into the earth to take away the old nature, which is what? Evil. And to give us a new nature from above, which is from God. And that's exactly what being born again means, is that you're choosing to die to the old way of thinking, your old nature, by way of those shed blood of Jesus Christ, by way of confessing your sins with your mouth and believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Not only should you be saved, but he said at that moment you have eternal life, and that your faith is birthed. So there is an escape. There is a way out, and that is Christ Jesus. And I love that, knowing that and understanding that every day of my life and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And even what I'm going through and crying out to God about my desires and my things that I wish and desire, he knows all about it. He knows all about it. And it's natural. It's natural to want to have our needs met and to have those pleasures. It's just how we go about having fulfilled and with whom, shall I say, also add with whom. Now, the Masorah or the Mazel in Gemini, again, represents the twins and are symbolic of two tables of the covenant given to Moses and the two covenants given to Moses. So the two tablets and the two covenants. And I love that because that's representing what? Two. And again, this is the year 2022, and this is so divine because God is really doing a marvelous work, as I shared with you early in the year, about holy marriages and God bringing together holy marriages. Prophetic timeline and this prophetic calendar gives us that understanding where we can pray it in and decree and declare it, celebrating not just our mystical marriage, but earthly marriage and come together as man and woman. Now, the first and the second in Moab, the place called the seed of the father, representing the sacrament of marriage, two becoming one. So again, the first and the second place, which means the first Adam, the second Adam, our first life, our second life, it represents two becoming one. My first birthing in the world was natural by way of my mother and father. My second birthing is now in the spirit by way of Jesus Christ. And that is, again, mystical. It's mysterious how God brings us out, how he chooses to unveil his will in our life by faith, by our obedience to him. And not only the two becoming one, celebrating the sacrament of marriage, but the wedding between God and his bride, which I am, which you are, I hope, and his church, which has been consummated through Christ Jesus, our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. So when Jesus said it was finished, he gave up the ghost, it was done. It was completed in the earth realm. Our union with him was now consummated. When I confessed him as my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I accepted him in my heart, and he came in by way of the Holy Spirit and filled me with the Holy Spirit and sealed me, hallelujah, with the seal of his love on my forehead, I'm now his. And that's for eternity. Now, 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 15th to the 17th verse says, Know ye not. This is another declaration of what Paul was saying about being the bride and being the members of the body of Christ. He said, Your bodies, which are members of Christ, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. He says, what? Know ye not that which is joined to an harlot is one body? That which is joined to a harlot is one body. That means when you come together with someone who's in the flesh, who's not born again of the water and spirit, who is manifesting the works of the flesh, which oftentimes means they have a whoremonger spirit, they are in fornication, the word of God says, calls them members of a harlot because they're not committed to God or to themselves. He said, God forbid, because in doing that, you are joined to a harlot, which is one body. He said, the two shall become one flesh. But he said, he that is joined into the spirit, unto the Lord, is one spirit. So he takes it from the Old Testament of being in the body, but to being now one spirit, being equally yoked, having the same spirit, having the same mind, being on one accord. And that's only by way of what? The mind of Christ, the nature of Christ. Now, I also wanted to include Revelation, the 19th chapter, the 6th and the 9th verse. And I love this because in our mystical marriage, there is an invitation. There's always an invitation that's extended to us to come, to dine with the Lord. And that's his invitation to you and to I this day, to come. And invitation is by the voice of the Lord, as the Apostle Paul states, or should I say Apostle John, St. John states, that in his beckoning us and summoning us, it's like a great multitude as the voice of many waters and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Now, the only people who can make themselves ready is what? The wise virgins, right? Those who are watching and praying. Those who have been washed by the blood of Jesus. Those that know his voice. Because he said, all my sheep hear my voice and a stranger do not follow. And because his wife has made herself ready, he said, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints, right? White represents purity, which he granted and gave. Not just something you choose or I choose to put on to make ourselves self-righteous, to whitewash or be hypocritical. It's truly being clean and washed by the blood of Jesus, by our confessions of our sins, and by his accepting us. Because again, he says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Hallelujah. Now, it goes on to say that the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, which represents God, his bride, his men servants, his sons and his daughters. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. So blessed are they who he beckons, he summons to come to dine with him. When he sends an invitation for us to come and dine with him, when he says, come up hither, that's a blessing. And that's exactly what he's saying now. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will open up, I will come in, I will sup with him. I will be their God and they shall be my people. So the invitation of Christ is extended to you even now as I speak. And so he says, in the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart in their provocation. And he's always tugging at our heart. We just make, you have to make sure that we don't drown that tugging and that voice out with our own desires or rebellion or anything that would cause us to not hear the call, the beckoning to come to him. Now, he says, and he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So everything that St. John wrote, he said, these are the true sayings of God that he had recorded. Now, quickly, I'm going to go to the tribe celebrated in this month, which is the tribe of Zebulun, which is depicted being the manager of commerce, whose occupations were of ships and sea traders. And I love that because at the beginning and the opening of this solar, I began to pray that the abundance of the sea will be converted unto me. Not just by 3x3, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because he said, it's the eye of the Lord, that God, that giveth thee power to get wealth. And it also represents launching out into the deep, going to a deeper level of faith, coming closer to the Lord, drawing nigh unto him and drawing, coming closer. And it represents business, prosperity. And I love that because the tribe of Zebulun were very wise, and they understood the deeper mysteries of God. And that's why the psalmist says, deep has called unto deep. Hallelujah. Time to go deeper, time to go higher. And he says that the brothers, Zebulun, who supports his brothers, Issachar, study of deeper mysteries of God. And Zebulun means to dwell. to dwell with or to inherit. And that's what the Word of God says to the husband, to dwell with your wives according to what? Knowledge. So in your pursuit, in my pursuit of and prayer and petition for whatever it is you believe in God for, it's time to go deeper. If your prayers have not been answered or you feel like you have not gotten the answer, it's time to go deeper. And also time to come higher. And I'm mentoring this based on, again, what God was saying to me about the two becoming one, which is marriage, because, again, that's exactly what he's doing in this hour. He's knitting together his bride. He's knitting together and bring together those who he will want to join together in marriage. And it's an exciting time, even in my life, very exciting time. And I'm excited for the activity that I'm seeing now. And I'm like, wow, God, I'm just it's awesome. Okay, so he goes on to say that in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, 7th verse, it says, not only did he, again, tell the husband to dwell with your wife according to knowledge, according to what you know about her, but his instruction to the wife is, likewise, ye husbands, what he says in verse 7, again to the husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Not being the weaker vessel, but as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So again, the Word of God is full of instruction. If you don't know how to move forward and seek and act upon your desires, the Word of God is there to instruct us, and that's why the Word of God is so important. Now, it says, the Lord is my banner, my strength, my song, he's my salvation. Song of Solomon, 3rd chapter 11, verse says, go forth, O daughter of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown where his mother crowned him in the day of his espousal and in the day of the gladness of his heart. So this declaration and celebration of the Song of Solomon is just declaring God's approval and the day and the banner over the husbandman, over the marriage that King Solomon was crowned with in the day of his espousal, in the day of his marriage, which means what? Fulfillment. Fulfillment of the promise, fulfillment of the desire, and that's what we want, fulfillment, right? Okay. So Ephesians, last scripture, 5th chapter, 22nd verse through the 24th, says to the wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. In everything. No debate, no picking and choosing, everything. Then that may take a little negotiation and some compromise and some conversation, but everything means everything, right? So, yeah. So, yeah, that's basically the sum of the alignment for this time, and I'm so glad I came on to minister to you, and thank you so much for receiving all that the Lord has given to me to share with you and expounding upon the alignment for this month. And it's not just for this month. It's every day. And again, you know, the feast and the times and seasons of God, it's whenever you need it. Again, I institute anything I need in God's word, I decree and declare it in that moment. It's all interchangeable. We have an interchangeable covenant. And it's also movable feats. I mean, no bondage here. We're free. We're free. Yes. So I'm excited about what God is saying and doing in my life and in your life. And I pray for your heart's desires, that God will give you heart's desires, and those things that you're believing God for will come to pass and be manifested in your life. So with that, I bid you peace, blessings, and much love. Love always. And I will be back at the end of the month to release and post May's offering. I just wanted to take this time out in my retreat to just minister this and release it in the universe, because I'm definitely praying for this, because it's happening now in my life. And I'm so excited about it. And I tell you, love, 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 love is all that matters. It's the rule of the day. It's the order of the day. And it works every time. So peace, blessings, and much love. And I will see you soon. Take care.